Mark Hine, member of the Commanders ownership group, was on with the Junkies today promoting a tennis event he has coming up. But they were able to talk to him about the state of the stadium and building at the RFK site. Some important answers from Mark Hine we wanted to go through and react to with you here. So let's start with him talking about the Commanders and the case they've made at RFK and why eventually he thinks this thing is going to work, even though right now it seems like progress is slow.
Yeah, look, I think that teams made an amazing case for why this makes a ton of sense. You know, you can look at it from so many different dimensions, but like, first of all, in D.C., there have been three stadiums built, and every single one has transformed the area it was in. If you guys, when I moved back to D.C. in the 90s, I lived down the street from where Cap One Arena was. Mm-hmm. That literally a block away was a red light district. Mm-hmm. You know, the East End was forgotten. No one came over. You build Cap One, that part of town's completely transformed. Then you do the baseball stadium. Mm-hmm. You go drive down there. It's actually incredible. I don't ever go down there, and it blows my mind how an old industrial area is now literally just building after building after building. And then you go to the soccer stadium, where I actually own the land under the soccer stadium. It was a junkyard and an old warehouse. And there was a coal-fired Pepco power plant there that was never going to move until the land was needed. You build a soccer stadium, it gets transformed. So, like, we have these case studies of what happens. And then you have 180 acres on that part of town where it hasn't gotten the same investment. And here's the perfect catalyst to do exactly the same thing, but actually even bigger.
So that was Mark Hine with the Junkies. I actually brought this part up with Charles Allen. The three stadiums built that have all been pretty huge successes in terms of what they've generated, not just in the way of bringing in money to the city, but what they've meant to the neighborhoods that they've completely transformed. He brought up the number one pushback that you're going to get on this, which is Nats Park, baseball, ballparks do better generally than NFL stadiums and ROI. Capital One Arena, you've obviously got basketball and hockey, so the combination of those two is kind of equal in dates to Nats Park, and then there's, because it's indoor, just limited number of event, you know, yeah. Limitless number of events,
dozens
in terms of
dozens, yeah.
Concerts and stand-up shows and all kinds of stuff. But I would ask about Audi Field. I mean, that's very, very different. That's been a huge success over at Buzzards Point, I guess it's called, right across the way here, kind of as the piggyback to Nationals Park in the Navy Yard. But my point is not that it isn't different. Comparing a ballpark to an NFL stadium, I get that. I've seen all of the same. Everyone still likes to cite the same things from 10, 7, and 8, and 12, and 4 years ago, or whatever else. It's probably still accurate now that ballparks are going to do better than NFL stadiums in terms of how many events you're going to have there and how much money is going to be generated. But I think that can be true, and it can also be immensely true that as a pillar for what they're going to do over there, this can be a wonderful transformation, and that the stadium can be a godsend to the city. And we are 3-for-3 in these projects being largely successful with the major team.
Sure, the word that advocates use is catalyst, right? As the anchor or the genesis of it. Because I'm from this area. I've driven through here a lot. It used to be this building didn't exist, certainly where we're sitting right now. And if you wanted to go what's now sort of 695 or to 295, the DC 50 or whatever, you would get off of a road by a McDonald's, a car wash, and a salt pile, take this weird left turn, and then kind of zip on back a highway. It's now a full, thriving neighborhood infrastructure system. It's all here. The catalyst, the first thing to come, was Nationals Park. When we were moving back, my wife and I were moving back from New York in 2011, there were a couple apartment buildings. None of this stuff was really here yet. It's all kind of been put up. And again, the catalyst was Nationals Park. That's what advocates will always point to, and there's a good case to be made there.
All right, let's go to the second of these cuts we've got from Mark Hine with the Junkies today on other economic drivers for RFK, including the World Cup and the Super Bowl. Now, the big point the team is making is they got to move quickly here because they're trying to get their hands in on some of these events, and the longer D.C. City Council waits, the harder it's going to be, specifically with the World Cup, Women's World Cup, to try to land events to be hosted at the stadium.
You know, I've lived the journey here. I was on the board to bring the Olympics here. I was co-chair of the group to try to bring the 2026 World Cup to D.C. And that was so frustrating because FIFA badly wanted to have games in D.C. next year. Mm-hmm. It's very unusual for a capital city not to get games, but we didn't have a stadium. They made us bid for the World Cup with the Baltimore Stadium. And what people may forget is that the National Fan Festival for the World Cup was going to be on the National Mall. We were going to have three of the biggest teams staying in D.C. All that's gone. And yeah, that's nice because you get to go to games, but the economic impact of stuff like that is so massive, you know? And then you listen at the press conference, Roger talked about that, you know, he had no promises, but certainly you're going to be considered for Super Bowls. The economic impact in New Orleans was $1.2 billion for the Super Bowl. So, like, these things are economic drivers.
So Hines' suggestion, and part of that answer, but more accurately, I would say the statement that they put out as an organization going back this week was, the reason we got to move is, they cited Women's World Cup, but we've got to start courting these events. We cannot wait. Charles Allen, who was on our show a couple of hours ago, the council member in D.C., does not buy that. He thinks whether they vote in July or in the fall, which he said they will vote in the fall. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know how you can guarantee me that when you don't agree with the deal and you need a new deal that the team has to agree to. And if they don't agree to it, there's going to be no vote. But he's saying we're going to have a vote. It's going to be in the fall. And it's fine that it's going to be in the fall because they're not going to miss out on anything. And them suggesting that they will is not accurate. This was Allen, the D.C. council member.
It's a more than $1 billion investment with a $1 billion industry. So don't pretend there aren't going to be like pressure points that people are going to try to put on folks. Everyone needs to take a breath. Like I said, put a little bit of ice water in your veins and realize this is a big deal. It's a big decision. Everybody's working in good faith, trying to figure out, can that plane be landed? But there's nothing that changes if you want to focus on a 2030 season. There's nothing that changes if the vote takes place July 15th versus September or even October. I think the one piece that I've seen folks throw out is, gosh, we don't want to miss out on the FIFA World Cup 2031 bid. Those bids aren't due until the end of November. So when people try to convince you that there's some magic in July, that's just not true. And I've talked with folks with U.S. Soccer. They're like, as long as you have a decision made by the end of November so your bid comes in, you're fine. So everyone needs to take a breath here and make sure we get a good deal, because this is a decision we live with for the next 50 to 75 years. It's going to outlast you and me. We've got to make sure we make the right decision for the future of our city, for the future of this part of our city, and make sure that it's the right deal for D.C. taxpayers. Because right now, it's not a good deal. But there is an opportunity to make it a good one, and that's what people should be working toward.
I think everybody involved is advocating and making a good case. So from, let's say I'm now the team. I have a team hat on. I'd like to get this stadium done as soon as possible. That's a very reasonable position. City. Don't rush us. We want to make sure the deal's as good as it can possibly be. Also very reasonable. I think those are natural, normal positions kind of in the course of this thing as they butt heads. If I'm a council member, I hear what Charles Allen's saying about, you may miss this one event. You may not get it done in time, but it's a much longer timeline than that. We're talking about decades, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, hopefully, the life of this stadium. As it goes before either you need a new one, another 20 years before we need to start, you know, dipping in and doing renovation budgets and upkeep and all those other kinds of things. This is a much longer term thing than this one event that you're trying to target if we don't get it done in the next 2 weeks. I understand that.
So you agree with him on that? It's easy to say you understand. I think everyone understands both sides of it. But they're saying conflicting
things.
Who's
got a better case to me?
Yeah, whose side are you on?
Again, if I trusted the council was doing everything that they said and was actually following through in the correct ways and wasn't motivated in other directions, just based on the statements, right. I guess I would side with the council in that regard. Where I go, if I'm not sure this is good, I will not be rushed because you guys want to make a little bit more money on the Women's World Cup.
Right.
This is going to be here long after I'm dead that my grandkids are going to go to. We need to make sure we do the right thing. If that's really what's happening, then that is a more compelling case to me.
So for me, I'm putting $2.1 billion in. This thing happens every several years. I need to get my crack at it. This is a first opportunity to make a ton of the money back. And by the way, that's not just me that wants the money back. You guys are worried about getting your money back, right? That's the whole argument here. Mm-hmm. We're giving you $1 billion. What if we can't get our money back? Well, one of the seminal opportunities early on in this stadium's existence in year one is in front of us here to make back millions of dollars. We're going to get it started. We're going to get your money back for you. That's the whole thing you care about, right, is getting your money back. We're going to make sure we can do that, but there's five events, let's say, that mean the most to us in the first 7, 10, 12 years, whatever it is, of the stadium, and one of them, and the earliest one, would be this thing that you may miss the boat on. Now, I don't know, because they're also in conflicting on whether or not they'd actually miss out. He's saying, we can wait till November and still get it. And the team is going, no, we can't. We need to get this thing done now and know that we're going to have a stadium in D.C. so that we can make the pitch. So I don't know who's right and who's wrong there either. But as has been the case, that's part of my frustration, by the way, is that each of these council members will come on and say, we want the stadium. We're going to get the stadium. Like, be calmer. The stadium's going to come here. Don't worry. This is going to happen. It's just going to happen in the fall. But how can you possibly say that when you're telling me that this deal's terrible, you don't want anything to do with this deal, and you want something to do with a very different deal that isn't on the table at all? The team's not right now suggesting that they're willing to do another deal. So forgive my skepticism of how awesome this is going to go in the fall. You're saying, and by the way, I disagree with him, obviously, but he keeps saying it's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. Okay, well, this is the deal. So, and you're also in the same sentence telling me we're going to get a deal in the fall. How do you know that? How could you possibly be so confident? They think this is a good deal. You think it's a terrible deal. What about the next deal when they think it's good and you think it's bad? Like, it's just the patting me on the head and telling me to calm down and sit back and let the adults handle it, as if they didn't screw up sports betting in D.C. and so many other things. That's the frustration I have.
Which I understand completely. The confidence may come from the dialogue that he said was ongoing, talking about Charles Allen, where I asked, was like, hey, you're not just shooting these complaints off into the ethosphere. You're not doing what's the guy's name? Yosemite Sam. I complain. Boo, boo, boo. Like, you're actually talking to people about it. And he, to his credit, he said, yes, the team is talking. The mayor is talking. Everybody's sitting down and addressing the concerns. So maybe based on that dialogue, there's a confidence. I'm with you, though, in this regard. That's awesome. Where's my progress? Where's my movement?
I don't think the team's putting out the statement it put out a couple days ago about why it would be a big deal for what the city council's trying to do to not be done, and why it would be damaging to the overall cause if they feel like everything's going swimmingly. And by the way, the most right now, like peeling back all the layers, what is kind of at the core of this thing is the team is suggesting we need to know this summer whether or not they are going to be in. And the city council members, one by one that have come on here, other than the original four yeses who are still yeses, one by one, the city council people have come on and said, there's no way we're going to be able to vote on this thing in the summer. And the team keeps saying, we need to know by the summer. So that's a big difference.
It is.
And by the way, it's the only thing that matters.
So again, it sounds like I'm like Team Charles Allen here. I'm mad at everybody. So his point, though, about they've tipped their hand, this is what they want. It sounds like several members of the council are going, you're not really going to leave. Now, maybe
100% they're saying that.
Maybe you push them to the point that they do.
Well, I asked them point blank. So if you guys missed the interview, he basically said they're not going anywhere. They're not leaving. They're not going back to Maryland. And I said, so you're calling their bluff. And he basically said there's no bluff to call. His suggestion is Maryland is irrelevant now. Maryland doesn't matter now. Wes Moore has moved on. By the way, I think if they called Wes Moore today and said, hey, we want to build a stadium, I'll bet you he'd pick up the phone call and start talking to them. But that was, to put words in his mouth, essentially what he said. Mm-hmm. Let's grab that, Darius. That was cut 9 here. So this is July 15th deadline is artificial. Doesn't think Maryland's still in play. So essentially, you're calling their bluff.
What bluff to call? It's not going to happen by July 15th. So it's an artificial deadline that people want to put on us. For what?
They could go back to Maryland and get the project started if they wanted to.
Really? Governor Moore is already talking about the future of that site and how he finally has a chance to do something different there. That's not going to happen. This is so different than what you saw take place in Virginia, where D.C. worked hard to get Cap 1 back, which should never even gotten to that place. The dynamics are not playing out similarly here. You've got a commander's team that wants to be in D.C. You've got D.C. leaders that are in good faith negotiating and working with the team on that. So I'm not worried about a July 15th date at all. I don't think you should be either.
Wants to be in D.C. No doubt about that. How badly, I guess, is the question.
Right.
Do they feel like they need to be in D.C.? I think they do. They know the upside is there. That's the best case scenario. But do they feel like it's their only option? Because he's acting as if, and I think that we actually just got to the bottom of what I don't want to say the problem is here, but it's pretty obvious. The team is going, hey, we got to go, we got to go, we got to go. And D.C.'s going, we got nothing but time here.
Right.
So we got to, I think psychologically, sitting down on the couch today with Charles Allen, they don't think they have any other option. They don't think there is another plan B, and they're going, we'll get to it whenever we're ready to get to it, and you'll like it.
Yeah, or they don't think 3 months is a big deal.
Whereas both are true,
right? So it's not 10 years. It's not, hey, we'll let you know in 6 months if there's another 6 months or another year. This is like, if we don't get this certified and ratified until 3 months from now, everything's fine. But everything's on course, and the team's going, no, because they're doing public pressure,
of course,
because that's what they want to do.
But Danny, I would have 100% agreed with you before the interview. In the interview, you just heard it.
Mm-hmm.
He does not think they have another option.
Right.
He thinks they have, as you said, tipped their hand. I like that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks they have kind of made it clear they want to be in D.C. to the extent that there's no going back now. I disagree with that. Maybe that's an interesting question to bring up. I mean, do people think that if this were to go sideways, they would actually go back to Maryland? Or do you think they've made it apparent at this point that it's D.C. or bust? And they will end up waiting. They're just trying to strong-arm the city council into doing it sooner. But eventually it's going to be D.C. So if the city council makes them wait it out till October, November, December, or 7 months after that, that it's RFK 2.0, and that's the only vision that they've got.
Well, I think it gets back to the argument that you and I have had 7 billion times, I think, on this show, about you think it's viable. I think it's not. So
which part?
Going to FedEx 2.0. I think they know that. I think they're too smart to go back there. So I think they've tipped their hand. And again, in that way, I agree with Allen that it's now DC or bust.
So you don't think they would build another stadium there?
I think there's a point that's a long way from now where they would go, I don't know the answer to. And I know that's frustrating.
But is long like 6 months or is long like 2 years?
Long to me is where they finally go, you know what? I don't think this is going to happen. We've been told 2 more weeks. We've been told another month. We've been told 2 months, 3 months. Now we're going to delay to this. Now we'll delay to that. If it finally gets to the point where you go, you know what? I don't believe this is ever going to happen, then they would go.
I think they want to be in a new stadium in 2030.
I think they'd like that too.
And they want it to be in D.C. But if it gets to a point where it's not going to be in D.C., then they'll build in Maryland and have a new stadium in 2030. I don't think it's going to get there, for the record.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the fall, the city council will vote and the team will allow, you know, basically just have no choice but to allow that to be the timeline,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be unhappy about it. But then they'll have a big press conference like Leonsis did with the mayor, where it's like anything.
Everybody congratulates themselves.
Yeah, before that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the idea that Maryland's not an option, which is effectively what you're saying, for a different reason. You're saying it's a terrible place to have a stadium and they know it. Right?
That's the fundamental
difference
between
Charles Allen saying you've moved on and Maryland's move on. That part I think is
I can't find that anywhere, ridiculous. By the way.
That's the second council member who said that to us.
Yeah.
That basically Westmore is happy to not have the stadium now and they just can't wait to use that real estate for something else. Really? I bet you that's not quite true. I bet you next time he's picking the Texans against the Chiefs for B. Mitch and Finley, let's ask him about that. Is it true that you don't want the stadium? You don't want the Commanders anymore? Because I bet you he would say otherwise.